We do appreciate the good singing this morning, Brother Colin leading and Sister Stella playing the piano for us, and Sister Tanya and Sister Caitlin singing that song for us. It's always good to have people who will sing and serve the Lord in that way. The Bible says to sing with the understanding, and people today try to sing. There are many people who claim to be Christian song artists and different things, and they try to sing, but they don't really know and understand what they're singing about. I like to know when somebody stands to sing and try to deliver a song, that they know what they're singing about. And I'm thankful that they know what they're singing about. We don't need to take our eyes off the Lord. Otherwise, we'll sink very quickly. I've been in those situations many times in my life where I've taken my eyes off the Lord, and it did not end very well for me. But when I put my eyes back on Him, and I reached for His hand, and He reached for me, well, He picked me up and set me just exactly where I needed to be, and I'm thankful for that. Does anybody else have anything on your heart this morning before we go any further? Anything at all? If not, we do have a thought this morning. It will come from the 16th chapter of the book of Matthew and the 13th verse. 16th chapter of the book of Matthew and the 13th verse. It's very familiar reading, I'm sure. Our thought this morning will probably be very elementary, but it is our thought that the Lord gave us a couple weeks ago, and it's something that we have tried to study on, and I believe that everyone here can probably identify with it once we get through the reading. But just pray for us this morning as we try to stand and deliver what the Lord has put on our heart. But Matthew 16th chapter and the 13th verse. It says, "When Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, He asked His disciples, saying, 'Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?' And they said, 'Some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elijah, and others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets.' And He saith unto them, 'But whom say ye that I am?' And Simon Peter answered and said, 'Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God.' And Jesus answered and said unto him, 'Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but My Father which is in heaven. And I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build My church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven.' And then He charged His disciples that they should tell no man that He was Jesus the Christ." And our thought would come from that 18th verse. And we'll read it again, and it says, "And I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build My church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." And our thought this morning is simply the church. And as I thought about this and how Jesus was talking to His disciples here, and they were asking Him who people said that He was, and Jesus asked His disciples, He said, "Who do men say that I am?" And they reeled off a few people, and He asked Peter, He said, "Who do you say that I am?" And he said, "Thou art the Christ." And as He went on, He said, "I'm glad that that flesh and blood hath revealed it unto thee, but of My Father which is in heaven. My Father has let you know who that I am." And He went on to say that thou art Peter, and He was letting him know that he knew who he was, and upon this rock. And people want to today say that Peter was the rock of the church, and I disagree with that this morning. I believe that Jesus Christ is the chief cornerstone. I believe He is the rock of the church that He set up, and I believe that God set up His church while He was here on this earth. I don't believe that it happened after He left. I believe that God set up the church that we know today as He was here on earth. He says, "Upon this rock I will build My church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." And I think sometimes don't understand, or maybe we don't realize what that means. And I believe that the Lord said that the gates of hell shall not prevail against the church. A lot of times hell gets pretty close to our church. A lot of times the gates of hell, they stand outside the door and they stand outside the places that we are, and they get awful close to the church. But God said that the gates of hell would not prevail against the church. I want you to know and understand this morning that God's church will always prevail over everything in this world. God's church will stand the test of time. It stood this long. It'll stand for an eternity. And I'm thankful that God's church is still standing. I'm thankful that when God set it upon that rock, He set it upon something that was sure and that would last. But he told them, this rock, I will build my church. And you may ask this morning, what is a church? And we know that the Greek word is ecclesia, which means a called out assembly. It is something that is important in this life. People today have said, and I hear it all of the time, that they don't need church. That church is not for them, or they make some excuse why they can't come to church, as if to say everybody that goes to church is a sinner. Really? Everybody that goes to church is a hypocrite. Well, bless their heart, I want you to know and understand this morning that church is not about how righteous that you are. Church is about being submissive and willing to serve God. I want you to know and understand the world has taken the church today and they've spun it into something that doesn't even resemble what church really means. People want to be entertained. They want smoke and they want mirrors and they want lights and they want all this flashy things that this world can offer. But I want you to know and understand this morning that is not church. Church is about serving the Lord. It's about being a called out assembly of His people. As I thought about this this morning, and I know all of us have heard about the Supreme Court ruling and how it went down, and I want you to understand, the Bible says right here that the gates of hell would not prevail against His church. And I think a lot of times in our churches and in our lives, we think that that God has completely forgotten about His church. Or that maybe He's completely forgotten about His people. Maybe in our lives we feel that God has forgotten about us. But I want you to know and understand this morning that God has not forgotten about you and He's not forgotten about us. We may, and I told them in Sunday school this morning that we lose a battle every now and then, but bless our hearts, the church and God's people have already won the war. I've heard the statement, and I'll make it this morning. I've read the back of the book. I know how it ends up. Well, it saddens my heart today to know that our churches and our people and our morals are being tossed to and fro. They're being stood against. They're being taken apart piece by piece. Our churches are being condemned for the things that they teach. I want you to know and understand this morning that God has not forgotten us. We might have lost that battle, but what it should do is it should make us strengthen together. It should make us more united. It should make us pray harder than we ever have before because God still hears the church's prayers. I want you to know and understand this morning. Read over in the book of Hebrews. If we'll turn over there just for a moment. In Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10 and the 24th verse, and it says, "And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much of the more as you see the day approaching." And the writer here was saying, don't forsake the assembling of yourselves together. We just told you that church is the assembly of God's people. I believe that the most important thing that a saved person can do in their walk with the Lord is come to church. And I believe that studying and all of those things, they fall just right in line with there. I want you to know that the longer you're out of church, the longer that you don't serve the Lord, the harder it is to study, the harder it is to pray. And all of those things fall under the umbrella of a church's duties. I want you to realize today that our church still has power. There is power in our churches. And you might be thinking, well, what do you mean? Well, I want you to think about this morning, and I want you to realize that it doesn't matter the size of your congregation. If the Lord worried about the size of a congregation, Lord help some of our churches. But I want you to know and understand, it's not about the size of a congregation that God sees. It's the hearts of the people that are there. The church can have three people that are there, and if they're serving the Lord with all of their heart, God finds favor with that. It doesn't have to be a mega church. It doesn't have to be a million people under one roof serving the Lord for the Lord to find favor with that. I believe that God finds favor with Mount Calvary. We're not a large congregation. Oh, but His Spirit meets here. That way we know that God is with us. He's with His church. He told us that the gates of hell wouldn't prevail against it. And you might say, well, we're small in number. How can we prevent the devil from getting in here? And you know what I want you to understand this morning? That the devil wants to get in here just as bad as he can. He wants to get in here and he wants to tear it apart because he knows that good things are going to happen here. He knows that good things happen when God's people humbly submit themselves down and they become united. He knows that if his church gets on fire, things start happening. People start getting saved. And what happens when people get saved? The devil loses people to go to hell with him. He loses those people. What happens when God's church gets on fire? Things start happening in our nation. I made this statement, I guess yesterday, I was talking to Sister Jean, and we were talking about the Supreme Court ruling, and I was talking about different times in church's history. You know, our churches have never been great numbers of people. Our churches have been at times bigger than others, and they've been more submissive than others. They've gone through periods when they've been up and they've been down. It's nothing new to see our churches go into the valleys and in the mountains. It's nothing new. We're not facing anything today that hasn't been really faced before. But the thing about it is that God's churches really prosper when things aren't looking good around them. People, God's people really start to get on fire for the Lord when things around them look rough. They begin to realize that they need the Lord. They begin to realize that they need His help in everything that they do. You know, I want you to realize today, and we're fixing to celebrate Independence Day this next Saturday, and I want you to realize that we live in the best nation in this world. We live in the best nation in this world. I'm thankful for the United States of America. I'm thankful for the freedoms that we have. I'm thankful that God has allowed those. And I want you to realize today that God's people are still here for a reason. God's people are still here in Middle Tennessee. They're still in Southern Kentucky. They're in Indiana, Missouri, Ohio. They're all over the place still serving the Lord. And I want you to realize today that there is still hope for our world. There's still hope for our nation. And there is still hope for God's churches, because as long as He is still on the throne, as long as there is still breath in our bodies, as long as there are still people willing to serve the Lord, I believe He will tarry His coming so that if it means just one more person is saved by the grace of God, then bless their hearts. We sing a song when I was growing up at Pleasant Hill, Just One More Soul. Just one more soul, it would be worth every mile. It would be worth every trouble that we've gone through just to see one more soul get saved. You know, if Mount Calvary, from its existence, if only one person had gotten saved through her efforts, it's been worth every mile that she's been on. I've read through some of the things. I know there's been more than one person get saved through her efforts. I'm thankful for that. But it's been worth every mile to see her continue on and continue in the old paths. In the book of Jeremiah, it says, "Stand ye in the old paths and see." And it talks about people that didn't want to stand in the old paths. Brothers and sisters, this world may crash down around us. They may try to change us. They may come through those doors and drag us out kicking and screaming. But we still have to stand for the old paths. We still have to stand for our morals. Our churches can't change because the rest of the world has to change. God is the same today. He was the same yesterday. He's going to be the same tomorrow. God's not changed. Who's changed? We have. The world says progress. Oh, the world says let's progress. Let's make progress. Oh, that sounds real good. But what have they left behind? They've left behind God and His church. They've left behind the things that really matter. I thought about this morning over in the book of Peter. If the Lord will be our helper, we'll turn over there. 1 Peter in the 2nd chapter. In the 9th verse, 1 Peter, 2nd chapter, in the 9th verse. And I want you to think back to times when you've told people where you go to church. You say, well, I'm a member of such and such Missionary Baptist Church, or I go to a Missionary Baptist Church, and boy, that'll give you a kind of a funny look. And the 9th verse of 1 Peter chapter 2 says, "But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, which in times past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. The Bible tells us here that we are a peculiar people. We're different than the rest of the world. You know, when God saves a soul, he changes you from the inside out. You know, the Bible, the church has two ordinances. The first one is when you get saved, you join the church and you become a baptized. Follow the Lord in baptism. That's the first ordinance of the church, is to be baptized. In order to be a member of the church, you've got to be baptized into it. I don't believe in this whole universal church thing that once somebody is saved, that they're just automatically a member of the church. It don't work like that. John the Baptist didn't baptize those people for salvation. He asked those people to bring forth fruit meats for repentance. He wanted to know a salvation experience. He wanted to know a time when they had met the Lord, and that's what we ask when we open the doors of the church and somebody comes forth. We want to hear a salvation experience. We want to know something's changed. We're a peculiar people. Have you ever heard somebody stand before the church when they're petitioning to join, and they've kind of had kind of a questionable experience, and you're thinking, uh-oh, what are we going to do about this? We're not too sure about it. We know that there's a change in us. And when somebody stands before the church and they petition it for membership, we want to know that there's been a change in them before they go down into the waters of baptism. The first ordinance is baptism. I believe that it's something that every man, boy, woman, or girl that has been saved by the grace of God should do because God commanded us to. It's part of our ordinances as a church. The second ordinance is the Lord's Supper. Some people will throw other things in there, but I believe the Bible tells us that it's the Lord's Supper, the taking of the bread and the juice and the wine that we do. I believe that's part of the church. And you all practice a closed communion, and the church that I will be coming from, they practice a closed communion. Why is that? It's because we want people that have been saved by the grace of God and are members of our church to take it with us. We don't want something outside of what we believe taking it with us, because we want people that are members of God's church to take it. That's the only way that it can be. Because we have to know what we're dealing with in our church. You know, I think people today, and I want you to know and understand that people have associations, and our Missionary Baptist people have different associations, and I believe they're good things. I believe they help out, but the associations that we have, they're not rulers of the church. A church is an autonomous body. It is a single body that controls itself. It doesn't need somebody else to control it because God's the head of it. It doesn't need somebody else to tell it how to run the show because God is the head of the show. God, if we follow the Lord, it doesn't matter what everybody else thinks. But we've got people today that their churches are governed by bodies that never even see them, that never even know anything about them. I'm glad that we do things the way that we are because we are a peculiar people. We want to make sure things are done the way that God wants them done. That's what our desire should be, is to do everything the way that God wants them done. The way God says for things to happen is the way that His church should do it. His church is important to Him. Our brother Mike sang a song the Sunday before we left about the wedding song. His church is His bride. His church is special to Him. I believe He died not only for the lost people of this world that need to be saved, oh, but I believe He died for His church. I believe He loves His church. I believe He finds favor with His church, and I'm glad that He does. I'm glad that He does. Because I wouldn't want to be in anything else but His church. I'm a member of a lot of different organizations as far as different civic organizations. One off the top of my head is the American Middle School Literature Association. That I'm a part of for education. I'm a member of that one, and I pay my dues every year, and I go on. Well, that's all good and well. I never get anything out of it. I never get any benefit from it. They send out an email every now and then for a conference that meets in St. Louis, and, well, I'm not going to that. I mean, I just don't care a thing in the world about it. But it's good. It looks good on a resume. You're a member of that organization.
But I want you to know and understand that being a member of those organizations don't matter. What matters is being a member of the Lord's church. What matters is being a member of where God is. Because I want you to know and understand, just because somebody plasters the name church above the door does not make it God's church. What makes it God's church is His Spirit. And the fact that they teach the true plan of salvation, that you must repent of your sins, that you must seek Him with all of your heart, you must believe that He is the Son of God, and there's no other way through the blood except through Him, that we cannot save you. But as I was saying, those other organizations, people will join them, they'll join the Kiwanis Club and different other organizations, maybe they're Masonic, you know, whatever organizations that they are, and you know, they're fine. Doing those types of things, they're all good and well, I suppose. But I value my church membership more than anything besides my salvation. Because I believe that being a member of something like that is beautiful. I believe having the privilege to be a member of God's church is something more precious than we realize. His church is His bride, I've already told you. It is something that He loves deeply. It's something that I told you I'm a member of that Amley organization and I don't get any benefit from it. But oh, I get benefit from the Lord's church. You might say, well, what kind of benefits do you have from being a member of the Lord's church? You get to come together with God's people and you get to worship and you get to cry together and sing together and testify together. You get to share together things that break your heart, or maybe when you're having a bad day, or maybe when you're having trouble and you don't know who else to turn to, when you're a member of God's church, and even if you're visiting with the church, we're thankful for that too. But God's church is a place of refuge. It's a place that when we meet, and it doesn't have to be in this building. This church here at Mount Calvary, this is one of the most beautiful buildings I've ever been in as far as churches go. But this building doesn't matter as far as Mount Calvary is concerned. It is the members of the church that make up the church. It is each and every one of you that holds a spot on the roll, on the membership roll, that makes up the true church here at Mount Calvary. But what benefits do those have? When you can come together and you can cry together, you can share burdens with one another and say, Sister, I need your help, or brother, I need your help. You have people that you can turn to. You have people that love you, and I'm thankful that we have a place, a good place like this that is our church building here at Mount Calvary. You know, there's a lot of places today where people are meeting in different countries and places, and if you've ever seen pictures of them, they don't have nice places to meet. They don't have the places that you and I have to come together with air conditioning and plumbing and the creature comforts that we have, they don't have those. But you know, if tomorrow, if a tornado comes by and it wipes out this building, this beautiful building that we have, if it's no more, Mount Calvary will still be just as alive as it ever was. Because each and every person that's a member of it makes it keep going on. I'm thankful for the Lord's church. Now I'm going to take you one other place this morning, and we'll try to close with these scriptures and with this thought. And I hope maybe this has made some sort of sense this morning. I know it's probably been scattered, but the Lord gives you things and you just kind of have to just take them as they come out. Sometimes it comes out a little faster than your mind can make it work, but that happens sometimes. In Acts chapter 2, and I'm assured that this is very familiar reading to you all, Peter was speaking to them here at the day of Pentecost, and he had addressed them. And we'll start with the 38th verse, just for a starting place. It says, "Then Peter said unto them, Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you and your children, and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call." And with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, "Save yourselves from this untoward generation." That they gladly received the word, were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers. And fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles.
and all that believed were together and had all things common, and sold their possessions and goods and parted them to all men as every man had need. And they continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. And I told you that the Lord had two ordinances for his church. And it says those that received his word, those that had been saved, were baptized. I believe that the Lord was pleased with what was taking place here. I believe some people believe that this is where the church started. I do not. I believe that these people had to be baptized into something. Therefore, something had to already have been set up. I believe that I can make a very good argument for that. Don't have the time to do that this morning. I wish I did. But I believe, and those people that believe that, bless their hearts. They believe that baptism is the most essential part of salvation. I do not. I believe that a person can go to heaven without ever being in the waters of baptism, but I don't believe you'll be in the bride of Christ. I believe there's no chance of that. But it says they were baptized, and it says they break bread. They took the bread. I believe they were administering things of the Lord's Supper. It goes on and talks about the bread, breaking bread from house to house. Did eat their meat with singleness of heart, but it also talks about in prayers. Now, I believe that, I told you there are two ordinances, baptism and the Lord's Supper, but I believe something else that a church must do is pray. I believe very strongly that a church that prays together stays together. A lot of times you hear that said that a family that prays together stays together, but a church is a family. A church that stays together, or a church that prays together stays together. Brothers and sisters, when we come together and we're worshiping the Lord, we need to pray together. That's why we start our services. Most of them, sometimes they get away from us and things start happening and we never get to pray until the very last thing that we do. That's okay. No, we don't have set services in our church. We don't have a directory that we go by that says we're going to sing five songs, have prayer, have another song, preach. Sometimes things go like that to where those things happen. That's okay. We need some kind of order in our churches. Yes, but we have no set order in our churches. The Bible says to do things decently and in order. And I believe that when God's leading in things, when God is preparing hearts and He's doing great things in His church, those things are decent and in order. But I believe that prayer is an essential part of a church. If a church will pray, if a church will humble themselves, if a church will submit themselves to doing whatever God would have them to do, I believe that He will bless them. What happened on the day of Pentecost? 3,000 souls were added to the church. Why? Because they were following the Lord. Because they were doing what God had commanded them to do. And it said they were praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. People today believe that you can be saved by joining the Lord's church. Well, it says the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. Therefore, you must be saved to be a member of the Lord's church. People will take a little bitty babies and they will dunk them in water and they're saved, they're sprinkled, whatever that they are. And they say that that saves them and makes them a member of the Lord's church. Bless their heart, it doesn't. I hate that they believe that, and it breaks my heart that they believe such a sad doctrine. Because I believe that baptism is a very sacred thing. I believe we know that Jesus was baptized, and what happened there was the dove came down and the Lord spake and He says, "This is my Son in whom I'm well pleased." I believe that the Lord was pleased with the act that was done there. I believe that He was baptized in a running water. People will say, "Well, baptistry is not running water." Oh, yes, it is. I don't know what kind of bathtub you use at home, but mine has running water to it. But that doesn't mean anything. People say you can't use a baptistry. I have no problem with that. People will break fellowship with other churches because you have a baptistry. Those are just silly things that our world today has to deal with. And I want you to just put those things out of your mind. Don't even worry about them. Don't even think about them because they don't matter. What matters is that His church does the work of a church. You know, there are places today, and where I'm from, up in Franklin, there's a big Baptist church up there, and it is just like the social club of Franklin.
If the who's who goes to this church. If you have the money in town, this is where you go. It's a who's who. It's a social club. That's all it is. You might say, well, you're up there bad-mouthing a church. Well, bless their heart. If they'd follow the Lord and act right, I wouldn't have to talk about them. And I don't like talking about other churches because I don't believe in putting anybody down, because I don't want anybody to be think that I'm talking down about them, because I believe that God's church is the Missionary Baptist Church. I honestly believe that. It has not always been called the Missionary Baptist Church. People don't like to hear that. It has not always needed a name, because when God set up His church, it was just called the church. It didn't need a name because people hadn't had crazy ideas and run off in every direction, listening to everything that had come by, chasing rabbits, as Brother Steve Skinner calls them. But it didn't need a name. There were different times in our history. It's been called the Waldensians, the Anabaptists, different names. We have come down from ages to ages, but I believe that you can identify with the Lord's church with the Missionary Baptist name. I believe that we're the closest thing that there ever will be to the Lord's church. I believe that we are the Lord's church. If I didn't believe that, I'd be searching for what was the Lord's church. But I'm thankful that I am a member of God's church, because I know in my heart that this is God's church. What is the work of a church? And I told you I'd leave you with those last verses. Well, sometimes that changes. So I'm going to leave you with this. It's very familiar reading. You all know it. This is the work of a church. This is what God let us have. This is what God left for us. This is His instructions to the church. Matthew 28, 18th verse. We'll start there. Matthew 28, the 18th verse. It says, "And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world." And I want to maybe go through this backwards, and then I promise I will be done. He says He would be with us always. What did I start with this morning? The gates of hell would not prevail against His church. He's not going to leave us nor forsake us. He said that He would be with us always. And when God says something, I'm inclined to believe that He's right. I'm inclined to believe that He keeps His promises. He said He'd be with us always. I believe He's going to be with us always, even unto the end of the world. Teaching them to observe all things. Once a person has... Well, we'll start with the first part of this verse, and we'll do that this way. "Go ye therefore and teach all nations." What are we teaching people? We've got to teach them about salvation. We can have people come in here, but we've got to teach them about true, heartfelt salvation. That is the first, foremost thing that a church must do. It must be evangelistic in its order. It must, first of all, tell people the true way of salvation. It must not ever deceive anybody in thinking that they're saved, because they have to figure it out for themselves. A church must be evangelistic in its operations. It's got to teach all nations about the true plan of salvation. And I don't know about the rest of y'all, but the Mount Calvary is teaching all nations with the places that are around here. We are in a very eclectic neighborhood of all kinds of people. We can step out the door and teach all nations, it seems like, with the people that live around here. What do we do next? Told you that baptism is the first ordinance of the church. Baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. They've got to be baptized. Once they've been saved, we need to let people know that God commands that people be baptized, that He wants them to follow Him in baptism, to be a member of His church. What happens then? And this is where our churches have failed so often. And I don't want us to do that here at Mount Calvary. I want us to be able to do this last part just as good as we do the others. Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always. We never stop learning. We have got to continue to teach people. When people get saved and they join the church, we've got to teach them what we believe, why we believe it, how to apply it, and use it in the Bible. We cannot let them escape and get out of our sight and our grips, because we need to proselytize and say, whoa, big word. We've got to get them into our church and show them what we believe. We've got to make them followers of Jesus Christ. That's how we do that, when we teach them. That's why we have Bible studies and different things. Sunday school, those are good things to have. We've got to teach people what we believe. Otherwise, we'll be very weak people. We've got to know what we believe and be able to stand behind it, so that when people ask, why do you believe what you believe? Why are you a Missionary Baptist? we can say, I know exactly why I'm a missionary Baptist, and this is why. And then he told us he'd be with us always. I'm thankful for the church. I hope each and every one of us this morning are as thankful for the church as I am. It is a beautiful thing. I am thankful that God left it here for us to enjoy. I don't want us to ever get discouraged and think that the Lord does not see us here at Mount Calvary, that He does not find favor with us, because His Spirit does meet here in a mighty way. Every time I've driven by this church to turn around and come back to the parking lot, there's just something about it. There's just a spirit that I'm thankful for. The Bible says to try the spirits, and this is a good spirit that meets here, and I'm thankful for that. I believe that God has His church here at Mount Calvary. Let's follow the Lord. Let's always be willing to do what God would have for us to do. Let's follow that great commission, teach all nations. When they get saved by the grace of God, let's show them that the best thing that they can do is join us in the church, and let's teach them the true doctrines of the church. May God bless you is our prayer. That's our thought this morning. As scattered as it may have been, I'm thankful for this opportunity to be able to be back here at Mount Calvary. If Brother Colin would get us a song this morning,